I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israel says there's no doubt it will respond to the unprecedented drone and missile attack by Iran.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly.
The question is how and when. Reserve Brigadier General Amir Avivi tells CBN News they presented plans for striking back even before the attack.
These plans really can be from, you know, cyber attacks to destroying nuclear plants to completely wiping out the oil production of Iran, sinking their navy. There are so many possibilities.
Still, the White House continues to press Israel not to take retaliation too far.
We don't want to see a war with Iran. We don't want to see a broader regional conflict. We will do what we have to do to defend Israel.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Secretary of State Blinken, we will do what is necessary to defend Israel. No, you're not. You can begin by reimposing the embargo against Iran, stopping their oil ships leaving their ports, and then selling their oil to China and Russia, gathering more money, not only for their proxy war fights against various sources and targets across the Middle East, including Israel and U.S. facilities, but also to fund their own war against Israel. No, we're not doing everything. Every time they get up there and say that, I want you to say, no, you're not. You're failing. The U.S. has done nothing but blah, 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 blah. We stand, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're standing over in the corner. We're nearby, but we're over in that. We're four doors over here. We're across the ocean. We're here. We're watching. That's all you're doing is watching. You're going to get all this tough talk. But as I was quoting yesterday, a noted author and expert with a major think tank saying, basically, we've got Biden talking softly and carrying a twig. He's not carrying a stick, a twig. Basically, a palm leaf. For Iran, not Israel. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, April 16, 2024. Your tax day is over. Are you still owing? I wish you the best with that. Because Biden's got plans for more taxes. Yeah. Oh, now he'll claim it's going to be for the rich. What defines rich right now? That would not be the illegals coming in. Obviously not them. But if you're a working American, you might be considered among the rich. We'll get to some of that a little bit later for you. Again, thanks to have you on board. Remember, you're listening to News Talk Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be here for you. And News Talk is number one, when it comes to live local conservative talk in the area. You don't need to go anywhere else. We've got numerous programs all pushing patriotism first, and then other things that we want to put in front of you. And Larry Connors USA is here 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday for you. And when we're on the air, we're also putting up video for you. You can watch the program. You go to any channel you want, but we prefer you to use either News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And everything we do, audio and video, is later put up as a podcast so you can catch and watch it later and then share. I noticed yesterday I saw maybe a dozen different shares. Thank you. That's the way to get the word out. Multiply it over and over again. And I appreciate the additional exposure for this program and for News Talk STL. So here you had the final statement in that news report about it's not a matter of if, but when Israel is going to strike. And Blinken is saying, well, we don't want a wider conflict, but we stand with Israel. Liar, liar. Pants on fire, and you being a Jew, you're standing there and making that statement. Have you no sense of responsibility just to your religion and say, we're not doing enough, Mr. President, and either resign or speak out against it? Nope, not going to. Same thing with Senator Chuck Schumer in the Senate. He is still fighting, I want a complete bill that has everything I want for Ukraine and some for Israel, but not for protecting our border in this nation. Once again, let's go back to Pants on Fire, Blinken, regarding Iran and Israel.
Over the weekend, as you know, Iran launched hundreds of missiles and drones against Israel. This was an attack unprecedented in its scope and in its scale. In its scope, because it represented the first direct attack by Iran on Israel. In its scale, because, as I said, there were more than 300 munitions fired, including ballistic missiles, as well as land attack cruise missiles and drones. Thanks to Israeli air defenses, as well as support from other countries, including U.S. military assets, virtually all of the incoming projectiles were destroyed and shot down. As President Biden underscored to Prime Minister Netanyahu, the U.S. is committed to Israel's defense. And I think what this weekend demonstrated is that Israel did not have to and does not have to defend itself alone when it is the victim of an aggression, victim of an attack.
Oh, my God.
In the 36 hours since, we have been coordinating a diplomatic response to seek to prevent escalation. We don't seek escalation, but we'll continue to support the defense of Israel and to protect our personnel in the region.
Those are words. They're words. And if you have a loved one serving in our military in that region, get on your knees and pray for them. And pray for other Americans in there. And pray for all the innocents that are caught in the middle of this. But do not expect, although you can certainly pray for this as well, that the U.S. is actually going to do something against Iran. Now, I'm not saying we launch nuclear strikes against Iran. I'm not saying we put boots on the ground against Iran. But I'm saying we've got several activities we can take, and all I'm getting from the Secretary of State is more talk. Let me tell you, what we're doing is basically empowering and encouraging other world leaders to duplicate talk. Right here in front of me from AP News. World leaders urging Israel, don't retaliate against Iran. CBS News talking about what Iran launched at Israel's unprecedented, and then talk about what got through and what didn't. NBC News, Iran attack against Israel. Israel's response to the Iran attack could be imminent. But again, New York Times, the world leaders urging restraint as Israel weighs retaliation. New York Times, again, Middle East global crisis. Leaders are pressing Iran and Israel, please avoid escalation. Look, we don't want escalation. But it's like asking for peace. Prior to October 7, it was an uneasy, unsteady, and often interrupted, quote, peace. But on October 7, it all changed. And now with, for the first time, Iran firing directly at Israel. But they're telling, no, hold back. And then we have another issue going on right now. It's not only those who are in Iran we need to be worried about. It's the ones that are inside our country. Because of Biden's open border, terrorists inside our nation. Robert Greenway, former National Security Director.
We've been utterly unsuccessful at keeping Iran's agents and other terrorist organizations from exploiting our open borders in the United States. There are over 700 individuals on the terrorist watch list have infiltrated. And this is a signal unmistakably to us that they are present, they are here, and they have operational capability. And if the situation escalates, and it very likely will, they could be employed doing a far more than protesting visibly. And second, I think we've also been unfortunately unsuccessful at denying Iran access to the resources necessary to support these types of threats. The Biden administration's policy of appeasement has been to provide them unfettered access to hundreds of billions of dollars, and that unfortunately fuels all of this.
It fuels all of it, and we could shut it off, but we're not doing it. Why? Why wouldn't Biden immediately say seize all assets, shut down every source of revenue to Iran? Doesn't take a bullet to be fired to simply do that. And, of course, the protests are happening across the nation. Let's break that down, because inside those protests, let's keep this in mind. All of those in the streets protesting, they may or may not be Muslim. They're certainly sympathetic to PLO, and by that they might also, and many times, are sympathetic to Hamas. Not all of them are jihadists. I don't want you to believe that. I don't want you to think they're all terrorists. But they are causing havoc all across the nation.
From San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge to O'Hare International Airport here in Chicago. For some air travelers, that meant getting out of the car, grabbing their luggage, and walking to the terminal, just hoping to make it to their flight on time. NBC5's Natalie Martinez talked to some of those travelers who got caught up in the gridlock.
A chaotic scene at O'Hare Airport this morning. Passengers ditching ride shares and cabs, hustling on foot with luggage to get to shuttles and trains, trying to make their flights.
Coming into the terminals, they're blocking the area.
Some had no chance and had to rebook.
I'm going to miss my flight, yeah.
Some, like Aaron Marin, took video along the journey and eventually did make their flights.
My plane took off on time, but I just sat there and felt so bad for all these, you know, the people that took the Uber and Lyfts were just ditching their cars. I mean, I was watching people walk from the expressway.
This all because pro-Palestinian protesters from L.A. to Miami to Philly to the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, that's how far it was, all the way across Brooklyn Bridge to the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. And, of course, as you heard from that report from a Chicago TV station, one of the centers that got a lot of attention, O'Hare International Airport. Let's pick it up again.
Governor J.B. Pritzker supporting First Amendment rights, not disruptiveness.
I think they can have their voices heard and let people move along their day. And I'm convinced that law enforcement ought to make sure that those byways and highways are open.
I think Chicago Police Department failed. They should have anticipated this. They should have known about it in advance.
Tonight, the American Jewish Committee of Chicago released a statement calling the O'Hare protest anti-Israel and a charade.
This is a woefully misguided demonstration.
Tonight, during evening rush in the loop, 14 arrests at another pro-Palestinian protest.
These people are very passionate about this, and they want to bring awareness. Making a bunch of angry people miss their flights and holding up traffic is not the way to do it.
No, it's not. It's absolutely upsetting people. And riddle me this. Pritzker saying, oh, we're all about First Amendment, but yeah, they shouldn't be blocking traffic, but, you know, let's don't get out of control. Now, what if he had to catch a flight to O'Hare? They'd be running over people. You know they would. We have Speaker Mike Johnson still trying to get together an aid package that's going to satisfy everyone, which is damn difficult. I mean, this is like dividing up a pizza and trying to make sure everyone gets exactly the same. Whoa, he's got an extra piece of pepperoni on his. I didn't get that. And, of course, the push is underway by Marjorie Taylor Greene offering to, let's maybe time to get rid of Johnson. And Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky announced he will co-sponsor a resolution to oust Johnson of Louisiana from the House top job. In the meantime, he's got four different bills he's trying to present, one with Ukraine aid, one with aid for Israel, one with Taiwan aid, and one for the border. And he's trying to say, can we just kind of move forward on these? Here's an ABC report update.
This is a risky move for House Speaker Mike Johnson. For months, he has avoided saying how he plans to address aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Now, under growing pressure, he is unveiling his plan for the first time, but it is a complicated one. The Speaker of the House said that the House will not vote on the Senate's bipartisan foreign aid package that wrapped aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan all into one. Instead, Johnson plans to break that package up and bring four separate bills to the floor for a vote, one for each issue, and then a final bill that's really shaping up to be a Republican wish list with conservative policy wins. Johnson knows he has a razor-thin majority. He's trying to satisfy all different wings of his party so that he can keep the speaker's gavel. Sources tell me that Speaker Johnson did speak to President Biden by phone before unveiling this package to Republicans behind closed doors just yesterday, but it's unclear if Democrats are going to go along with any of this. Either way, Johnson says those votes will be happening this week.
Well, this week is getting very near. We got a ways to go yet. We got a few days sometime this week. But they're all going to have to be something to consider. And as I said, Congressman Massey, Kentucky, says, I'm on board with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Maybe we need to get back on the merry-go-round and find a new speaker. There's no one else that's going to be able to put this kind of deal together anyway. You understand that. Whether or not you like it, I mean, here's Johnson trying his best to cobble something together to appease everyone. It's not going to work. We know that because we got too many people that are naysayers. I don't like it. I don't like that. I take it. And the main thing is still, is not Johnson, and it's not even the most conservative inside Congress or Senate, saying we need to secure our border, which should be an essential part of anything. It's those who say money for Ukraine, money for Ukraine. Oh, and some for Israel, because we got their back. We stand with them. And then you got New York Congressman Mike Lawler trying to put it in perspective of how important this is at this point.
We must lead. As leader of the free world, the United States has an obligation to support our allies. Between Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, the United States must get the aid and support necessary. I think it's been a long time coming, absolutely, but I'm glad the Speaker has made the decision to put this on the floor. While it will be four separate bills, my perspective is I'm less concerned about the process and the procedure and more concerned about the end result. We need to get aid to our allies. Russia, China, and Iran are not our friends. They're not our allies. They have engaged in an unholy alliance to undermine and destabilize the United States, Israel, and the free world. And we must combat this malign effort.
Is that hard to understand? And yet we cannot all come together on it? You know what frightens me with this kind of approach from Congress? And it's not just Democrats. There are some Republicans that are weak-kneed. But this is like, imagine FDR after Pearl Harbor going and saying, we're going to declare war. I need an act of Congress to declare war after Pearl Harbor. And they did have one dissenter, one, a pacifist. But in this case, you'd have more than 50% of Congress saying, no, let's don't go to war. Let's go ahead and let them hit us and continue. No way in hell. We should not be here. Coming up a little bit later this hour and next hour, look at Bidenomics. How's that helping you? And also, as we said, it's not a matter of if, but when Israel hits Iran. My guest has details that might show up. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance, they can be a major health issue. Especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my next guest we've had before, and I want to turn to him again, and I want to give you some background on him because I want you to understand why what he says really matters to us. He has served previously with the 3rd Battalion, 5th Special Forces, commander of the 3rd Battalion, 5th Special Forces, deployments East Africa, South Asia, Persian Gulf, Operation Desert Storm, and a seasoned leader in the 82nd Airborne, 5th and 7th Forces as well. Military Assistance Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, Steve Bucci, now the Heritage Foundation. Steve, welcome aboard again, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. Well, it's good to be back on the show.
Well, I want to go back over those details because right now Israel is plotting what it's going to do against Iran. What would be your best guesstimation based upon the experience we just discussed?
Well, I think the most likely thing for Israel to do is to do some strikes against Iran's interests, particularly their IRGC, Quds Force advisors, that are scattered around the whole region. They're with Hamas, they're with Hezbollah, they're with the Houthis. They're in.
Now you're not talking about
Syria.
Hitting Iran. Are you talking about hitting Iran or other sites?
No, I think the most likely thing they'll do is to hit other sites, not in Iran.
Okay.
I do think it's a possibility. They may say that's not good enough this time. We're going to take out some targets in Iran because Iran targeted Israel proper from its position. But I think if Israel wants to hurt Iran, but not appear to be escalating the whole thing, but letting Iran know that if you do this again, the price is going to be high, is to see them do multiple strikes in the region against not just Iranian proxies, but locations where the actual Iranian advisors are serving, and to take out a goodly number of those folks in those sites, but still give themselves that, say, hey, at least we didn't go right after your country, did we? So we're actually showing some restraint. So they can do what they need to do, make Iran pay, but have the position where they can say, hey, we're trying to play low ball too, guys. What's the deal here?
Why is everybody so upset at us? Iran is claiming so-called, they say Israel's talking about we 99% failed, but we still penetrated Israeli air defenses and we hit, quote, the targets we wanted to. I find that unlikely, but it's a story they're telling in Iran, and the Iranians are all excited about it, and those who support them.
Yeah, that's like Vladimir Putin saying that, you know, in the first 6 months of the Ukrainian war, they were winning.
Yeah.
You know, the dictators tell their own people lies. When they can control the news sources coming in, they can tell whoppers like that. And that one is truly a whopper because they really didn't, you know, what they hit was mostly damage done by the devices falling from the sky after Israel
partners
destroyed them.
Right. Yeah. In other words, debris, which obviously can be damaging as well. But did they gain some insight on Israel's capability and use that, not only the drones, which took 7 to 9 hours to get there, but then the missiles, to gain some understanding of how best to penetrate?
I think they gained an understanding of how difficult it is to penetrate. I'm not sure if they learned any particular lessons that will assist them in penetrating further the next time they try something like this. But I think Israel is going to send some under-the-radar messages, not something that's announced in the press or anything else, letting them know, you do that again, we're probably not going to have any restraint, and you're going to lose some cities.
Do you think that quote, so-called restraint, if Israel goes after targets, which they have in the past anyway, going after the supposed embassy in Syria, which by all accounts was not, and going after commanders where they find them outside Iran, do you think that would satisfy the world outcry for show restraint? We don't want to enlarge this. We don't want a bigger development in war. And none of us do. But the Biden White House keeps saying, yeah, well, you need to show restraint. We're with you, but you got to be careful.
No, I don't think it will satisfy those folks because those folks don't want Israel to do anything. Yeah. They want them to accept the Iranian version of, okay, we're now even. This is a done deal. Neither of us have to do anything else. And I'm sorry, Israel taking out one building that happened to be next to the Iranian consulate is not the same as sending, 300 drones and ballistic missiles and cruise missiles into the homeland of Israel. Those are not proportional events. And to desire that Israel allow the Iranians to get away with that is ludicrous. It's wrong. It's wrong for the Americans to do it. It's wrong for the Brits to say it. All these countries that are nominally friends of Israel, but they're kowtowing to Iran, and I think it's a huge mistake.
Amen. Amen to that all over again. Now, the other point being, a lot of the weapons Iran has and continues to receive are coming through China and or Russia, and I'm not sure Russia wants to give them too much because they got enough to deal with right now. But it's also the money that they're getting from their ships delivering oil to Russia and China. We have not seen the administration take one definitive step to punish Iran, such as that, shut down those exports out of Iran, as Trump did.
Yeah, the Biden administration has really made a hash of this whole thing. They went back and forth.
And we're not talking politics. We're talking about tactics here.
Yeah, they just have been very poor at it. They gave the Iranians, pallets full of money, like the Obama administration did as well. But, to do it in the midst of this and then to have their spokespersons, Blinken and people like that get up and say, oh, no, that didn't have anything to do with it. That didn't enable any of this. That's crazy. When you give money at that level to a regime like the mullahs in Tehran, who are, essentially the main arm of their policy is the IRGC Quds Force, their equivalent of the old Soviet Spetsnaz. They're assassins, they're killers, they're, you know, people say, well, they're like our special forces. No, we don't go and do assassinations. We don't go trying to overthrow governments. We don't do terrorism. And to compare that.
Well, you know, we have in the past, though.
Well, it's been an awful long time since we've done that sort of thing with our special forces. And frankly, that was mostly things done by our intelligence community, not by our uniformed military.
All right, let me ask you this question. The former National Security Director, Robert Greenway, says we still have to be concerned about how many terrorists that are already inside our nation waiting, and they're going to rise up. We're not talking about mass shutdown traffic going to O'Hare. We're talking about a mass casualty event inside our nation.
Yeah, I think that's a huge danger right now. We do not have anything akin to a good handle on who has gotten into the country in the last couple of years through the porous border, particularly in the Southwest, but in other places, because the Biden administration doesn't seem to care. And, you know, we've had reports here and there of, well, this guy was on the watch list, this guy was, you know, on a terrorist list, but there's thousands of people who have come in, Larry, that we don't know who they are. They're the so-called getaways.
Yeah, and I'm still not sure how many we brought in from Afghanistan that are truly Taliban that we didn't vet them. And a question along this line that will touch upon politics, if we have a major event like that, that's not going to help Biden in any way possible. I would think he'd want to be shutting everything down now, and he might well come up with, quote, an executive order to close the border right before the election, as if that's going to solve everything.
Yeah, I think they recognize they have jumped that shark already. They are not going to be able to do that kind of Band-Aid solution and then say, oh, no, we took care of it. You know, you can't hold that against us. I mean, they're still trying to blame President Trump for the issues at the border when his policies were having a beneficial effect. We're not perfect. We're not complete. But they were at a much better place than they've been the day Biden took office. He eliminated all those things. And now they're reaping that whirlwind and trying to blame Trump for it. And it's like, okay, that's not going to wash, pal. You're lying to us like we're idiots and can't see what's right in front of our faces. It's just, I can only pray that everybody who sees that gets out and votes. But right now, you know, I don't think Joe Biden has a solution for that problem. I think within their administration, they're still trying to figure out that they have a problem.
Yeah, good point. Steve Bucci, as always, I thank you, and certainly your insight that they might be going after targets outside Iran. Critical point. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
You bet we'll do it again. Now, coming up, since we're discussing the illegal issues, they're not going away. Got more evidence.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
China.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China have been asking me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire Moving.
This is News Talk STL.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Investigators say they stumbled onto undocumented immigrants inside a home while investigating a child porn complaint. It happened Thursday morning at a house on Dripping Spring Avenue. I'm told 13 people were questioned while federal immigration officials later transported 10 of them for processing. The Chambers County Sheriff's Office said they were either of Asian descent or from Guatemala. The child porn investigation is ongoing while the feds will handle things on the immigration side.
See, that is the issue that has been concerning me every night in prayers, and I hope it does for you as well. Children that have been trafficked across our southern border with the help, the aid of Joe Biden and his cronies and everyone else who thinks an open border is good until it's in their backyard. And I still don't see the blue city mayors and governors opening up their homes for illegals to have a place to stay. Now, they're encouraging you to. And some have said, you know, they may come down with an order. They'll just take over homes or buildings that might be vacant or maybe up for sale. And if the squatters aren't in there anyway, they will end up using them for housing for illegals by eminent domain. Eminent domain, of course, will give them a reason to seize anything as if it's important for the value of the community. Just as surely as your house is sitting in the path of a freeway, you're either going to take the price they offer you, or they're going to take it anyway. I don't think, and I hesitate even offering this idea, I don't think they will move that step forward. But I'm not so sure. I mean, they've already opened up our border. They know children are coming across. They know they've got, what was it, last report? There's got to be close to 600,000. Let's take, I'll be on the conservative side. 300,000 children that have come into this nation, and they know not where they are. They don't know if they're alive. They, at the very best, might be used for some kind of slave labor working around dangerous, hazardous chemicals and equipment. That actually would be better than maybe sold into a den of pedophiles. But when pedophiles are done with them, they're going to end up disposing of them anyway. And yes, you're right. When I say disposing, to them it would be as simple as taking the trash out. Does that not trouble you? It does me. It does a great deal. And I believe it does for most of you. And this has no bearing on your politics. It has to do with caring about children and their health and well-being. Where have we gone so wrong that we think we're willing to accept this and let it happen? And have a president who says, everything's okay, you know. You have to remember when we had the Democrats at the border on a daily basis when Trump was in office and complaining that he's putting children into cages, which were the same facilities Obama had used, by the way, and then separating mothers from their children when, in fact, we didn't have proof that they were related. And until we got DNA to make sure that they were, in fact, related, we didn't want to just turn them. You have women coming across. They might be a victim of sex trafficking as well. And part of the deal is you bring a child and act like it's yours. And we don't know if these children were picked up off the street somewhere, snatched out of a home, or maybe a home down in Mexico or the Triangle area or South America or wherever in the world decide, you know, it would be better for my child to live in the U.S. than here, not really thinking about what will happen to them. Or maybe they have so many children or they're desperate that they decide to sell their child. Where are all of those who shout against slavery? Because that's what's happening to these children. And many of the adults, female or male. Now, that was just one case of once again finding a group of illegals and children in their midst. They didn't have the kids there to treat them to cake and ice cream. You know that. And here's another example.
Texas authorities caught an illegal migrant who was wanted in a child molestation case. The Texas Department of Public Safety caught Gabriel Gutierrez Perez after they saw him cross the Rio Grande River on a jet ski and then get picked up by a smuggler. Records revealed he was wanted on warrants in Florida for sexual assault on a child. Border Patrol also now reporting its agents caught 54 convicted sex predators who crossed the Del Rio sector illegally since October, including multiple child rapists.
Welcome to America. You're free to roam about the country. Our children are your children. It makes you sick, doesn't it? And in the midst of what's going on the world stage with Israel and what happened there on October 7th, and the other difficulties we're facing across the world, and the inflation burden that Americans are dealing with right now, which, by the way, I'd mentioned to you that you're, you know, if you got through tax day, maybe you can feel good. Well, what happened after that is basically we have, you know, after you paid your taxes, you got to keep in mind, according to one source, illegal immigration has cost you $150 billion. $150 billion of your tax money was going to help with illegal immigration. Just the city of San Diego is going to be getting $39 million for illegal immigrants. And just the other day, there was another report of a boat rushing ashore near La Jolla. That's a very rich area, by the way, predominantly Republican in Orange County, but rushing ashore at La Jolla, and all those on board jump out and abandon the boat. It's a nice-looking boat. They give it up. They stole it. Who knows where they got it, but they rush into the community, disappear quickly, changing clothes, whatever. Now, if they had to come in that way, don't you imagine they have some criminal activities in mind? With all of that in mind facing us right now, the world stage and what's happening in our nation, Fox News Hemmer was raising a question of John Kirby.
You got your hands full, and I was looking back at the track record for President Biden. Here's what sticks out. The Afghanistan withdrawal was a mess. We failed to stop Putin from going into Ukraine. The war with Israel and Hamas has been absolutely dreadful and destructive. Again, it's the first time Iran has aimed at Israel. China's military buildup is substantial. And that was just this morning what I came up with. Can you argue that American strength and persuasion is better today than it was 4 years ago globally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100% I can, Bill, and I can do that very comfortably after serving for as long as I did in uniform. I'll tell you, this is a president who understands American leadership on the world stage. He has devoted additional resources, not just militarily, but diplomatically, economically, around the world to advance our national security interests.
No, he is not. And he claims about, and I would thank him for his service as an admiral, retired as an admiral, I guess, or some position of that nature. I thank him for his service, but he's lying through his teeth when he says this administration is doing a great job. They are not. They're failing. All right, let's take an update on the Trump trial and how state-controlled media is basically hoping, maybe even encouraging, chaos outside the courthouse. When we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton? Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
That I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida.
It's all absurd. Now, that was Trump in a hallway speaking outside the courtroom. Very hard to hear, but basically he's saying, I should be on the campaign trail. Joe Biden is. Scranton, Pennsylvania, going back home, selling another tax plan. I think he should be taking advantage of the time that Trump is tied up. But at the same point, I wouldn't be pushing a tax plan at this point. Are you? Well, I was going to say, is he an idiot? What a waste of breath to even ask that question. Of course, what they're still going through now is the voir dire, trying to select a jury. Now, let me tell you how this is breaking out so far. 96 potential jurors remain from the first pool. Let me correct that. 34 of the 96. So they started with about 100. They have 34 after the first round are still under consideration. I don't know if they've all been fully questioned. But Axios is reporting the rapid disqualification of at least 50 possible jurors underscores the difficult reality of finding a dozen New Yorkers to form the jury in one of the most high-profile cases in U.S. history. One of the questions is being, obviously, have you heard about it? Well, no, I'm just going to hear from Mars. I didn't know nothing. Now, that's not likely to happen. And then, of course, have you already formed an opinion? Or if you have an opinion, are you willing to put it aside and let the facts dictate the case? Here's a response of some of the jurors after they got excused. One said, just outside the courtroom, after being let go, I just couldn't do it. Didn't explain why, but I catch the undertone of it. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but I catch the undertone. And other jurors who said they couldn't be fair or impartial in the case, two dozen were white women. One Hispanic woman, four women of Asian descent, 14 white men, one man of Asian descent, six other jurors unknown. Now, that doesn't say when they couldn't be fair and impartial if they were going to go with or again Trump. But either way, they admitted they couldn't be impartial. The judge reportedly excused at least nine after they admitted they could not serve. That left 34 jurors remaining. So they're progressing to the next stage of filling out a questionnaire, which asks, what media do you consume? Where do you live and your political activities? You know, on one hand, I'd want to say, my political activities are none of your damn business. But in this case, they're going to try to make a case of it. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. We have those who believe January 6th was all Trump's fault. And it was wrong. Shouldn't have happened the way it did, but we also have seen our government go way overboard and, in fact, probably had infiltrated the crowd with undercover agents encouraging some things on. I'm still convinced that happened. But I also know a lot of people that got charged did nothing but walk through an open door. They had nothing to do with battling police officers. They were basically taking a tour, thinking the door was open. But we've got some in the, quote, left-stream state-controlled media that want to see mayhem and violent action outside the courtroom. Lawrence O'Donnell, when you listen to him from MSNBC, you can almost hear in his voice, listen to me, I want you to get out there and cause trouble.
Donald Trump would love to have a civil war of sorts over the criminal prosecution that he's facing now in Manhattan. He would probably love to have what he would call his term a bloodbath, or something like what we saw on January 6th, an uprising that could shut down the courthouse, stop the proceedings maybe. But once again today, as I just said, Donald Trump got nothing. And he knew he was going to get nothing from his supporters, which is why he didn't make the public mistake of summoning them to Manhattan to gather outside the courthouse, a mistake that he did make 1 year ago when he was arraigned at that same courthouse and no one showed up to try to block that proceeding.
And you know what he's hinting at? That no one's listening to Trump anymore? You keep believing that, Lawrence O'Donnell. My thought is they didn't show up this time because they saw what happened January 6th. They're not going to get wrapped up into that. They don't need to. I wouldn't. And the other point being made, Jonathan Hurley of Fox News pointed out the case is absurd. Axios is even reporting in one case that he's facing charges similar to what Joe Biden is, because some reports that $1.5 million in Biden legal fees were paid for with campaign donations. Now, if Trump gave money to pay off a prostitute to stay silent, that's different than campaign donations going to his legal fees. But according to this, Biden was using some of the money for legal fees. Either one, someone got you know what. And the court has yet to decide if Donald Trump's going to be allowed to be excused long enough to attend Aaron Trump's high school graduation. Just because he can. Coming up, more on the Biden economics and the Trump case and much more. You don't want to miss it. Lock and load. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.